Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our special guest is Reverend Celeste Frazier. She is a spiritual leader, an inspirational speaker, a podcaster, an author, and a warm counselor. She has a book coming out soon that she will tell you about. It's titled Common Miracles, Frequent Illusions. She will tell us more about that and about her ministry, as well as courses and speaking opportunities she's involved in. She is a true healer. So welcome to our show. How would you like me to address you? You want me to call you Reverend? You want me to call you Celeste? Ms. Frazier? How do you want me to call you?
Rev Celeste is my moniker.
Rev Celeste. Okay. So yeah. Rev Celeste, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the invitation, Karen.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So as you are aware, my audience is trauma survivors, people really struggling because of either childhood abuse, domestic violence, it could be a sexual assault, or just a lot of toxic things that happened in their life. You know, when you have people like that, that you cross paths like that, meaning a history of trauma, when you cross paths with someone who's a trauma survivor, you know, what do you think about would make sense in helping them on a healing journey?
When I know that they are a survivor of trauma, my approach is loving and gentle. I tend to want to listen so that I can hear not only what the wounds are, but the impact of those wounds on their psyche. Because a lot of times people start to make other assumptions about themselves based on those kinds of experiences that are not true about them at all.
Right.
So when we can start to touch, like, what is the emotion and what are the presumptions that were made or the conclusions that are probably false, that perhaps we can begin a journey to try to release some of that, you know, false belief and get more in tune with the part that needs nourishing and nurturing.
Oh, great. Very nice. Yeah, that's really powerful. I loved how you said that it's a gentle touch. It's, you know, it's not forceful, like, oh, you must work with me. I have all the answers and I can heal you. That doesn't tend to go
well. Yeah. Those are for non-traumatized people. Those are for people who need a kick in the butt, who just really know better but aren't doing anything. You know, yeah. That's a different approach. But yeah, you have to meet people where they are.
Yeah. And see, once I have a relationship with a survivor, then I will kick in the butt. Because even all of us need that too. We need the love, kindness, compassion, but we also need that kick in the butt sometimes to get going.
Yeah. If people aren't moving from that space, you know, yeah, they may need some nudging. Yeah.
Oh, nudging is way kinder way to put it. You've been doing this for a minute. I could tell.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't want to scare people to think, well, you know, I'm not going to get any help over there because that woman's crazy, you know.
Unless I like to work with crazy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I forgot my next question. So I'm trying to think of what I really, now I remembered. So when I think about trauma survivors healing, I think of it from an emotional perspective, a physical, relational, and a spiritual. Mm-hmm. So I think my really big question for you is, when someone feels like they have moral injury or a spiritual disconnection because of their trauma, how would you guide them at that point?
It depends on how I am feeling led at the moment. Sometimes I may want to try to take them through a meditation where they can get back to that space when things changed. Sometimes I may just ask a series of questions to find out, again, what kind of assumptions did they make from that, and how has that impacted their primary relationships, and particularly, how has that impacted their relationship with themselves? Because that is the key relationship that really needs the healing the most.
Yeah. Well, because that spiritual connection, that's within us. That's part of who we are. So that you're right. That's, let's say, and we're not connected to us. Yeah. And survivors often struggle with that.
Yeah. And sometimes spirituality is the furthest thing away from people's minds when they feel that God has abandoned them. So I may not use the word God. I may use something else that essentially is about their spirit and is about that indwelling energy that is unconditional love. That way, the possibility of being loved may be soothing enough for people to want to relax a little bit more into the conversation.
Right. Yeah. And is this part of when you do your keynote celebrating our soul, is this part of that messaging?
Well, it was. That actually occurred about 3 weeks ago. I know we booked this a while back. That actually happened in mid-August. And it was about looking at all of the nonsense that we have been fed and really knowing that there's something greater in us that is ready, that is at the precipice, and that we can let it emerge so that we can release those old stories and the self-hatred and the, you know, whether it's homophobia or racism or sexism or whatever the ism is that really stands in the way of our growth and stands in the way of our joy and stands in the way of our magnificence, because we have something to unleash that the world does need. So I think it's imperative that we get over, those things that have blocked the light in us and those things that have not given people the opportunity to see who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you help people get their light to shine? I love that song from Sunday school when I was a kid. This little light of mine. I'm going to stop singing because people will just turn off the podcast. So.
Well, that light, I can see it sometimes, and sometimes I have to search for it. But it does come with uncovering maybe a joyful moment or a free moment or something in the past where it was safe. You know, where people are given permission to just be themselves and to know that who they are is enough, you know?
I love that. We have a boutique of inspirational products. We have one of my favorites is a tote bag that says, I am enough. And then the other one says, you are enough. Mm-hmm. So I love that message. So thank you.
Yeah.
Let us know more about your book, Common Miracles, Frequent Illusions. What is that about?
Okay. And that came out a couple of weeks ago too. So,
awesome.
It's really about A Course in Miracles. I know a lot of times people find that a difficult book to navigate, because the language is so clear, but if you are swimming around in trauma, if you are in some deep unforgiveness, you're not going to get it. And you're going to think this is a bunch of crap. But when you really are like tuned in and turned on to the spiritual essence that it's inviting us into, then we start to see that some of the stuff that we thought were real, were getting in the way of our breakthroughs, our enlightenment, our self-love, our self-acceptance, and our love of others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where did the inspiration to write the book come from? Was it from the other book or just your journey for your own life path?
A combination, because a lot of what I talk about are my stories, but the premise that it was built on comes from close to 17 years of teaching A Course in Miracles off and on.
Okay.
And being a student of A Course in Miracles. And it really is about knowing the spirit that is within you. And that's the spirit that indwells everybody. And when we can just take off the boxing gloves, take off the masks, take off the old assumptions, take off the societal influences, take off the religious abuses, you know, take off the emotional abuses, then, you know, what penetrates knocks all of that stuff out of the way, because what penetrates is just truth. And it's undeniable truth, because it hits you in a spot that is your most authentic spot. And that shatters all of the nonsense. So they appear to be real, but they're really illusions. And the miracles get to rise when the illusions get shattered.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so, that might be hard, like you said, when someone's brand new trauma survivor, trauma mm-hmm. just happened. And they're like, what are you talking about? This really happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
So yeah, so I use my experiences to kind of explain what it was like for me. It's pretty hard to describe the ineffable when I'm talking about spirit, mm-hmm. Which I may call Elohim, I may call Oludumari, I may call any name, you know, because a lot of people have some energy around the word God. And so for me, it's meeting people again where they are in their cultural place, in their place of inquiry, in their place of familiarity, so that they can relate enough to be able to see the glimmer of light and then keep following it until they come into their own truth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you share part of your story. Is there a piece of that or some of that you'd be willing to share today with us?
I think one such story is the story of forgiving my brother after years and years and years. And it's kind of hard to explain in terms of the how, but I can talk about the what, because I had been holding on to, you know, well, you know, he did this to me from the time I was a baby, you know, he did that to me, you know, he embarrassed me in this way, you know, I ran into the bathroom and locked the door, you know, all of these different stories, all of these different ways of just even as an adult, just kind of negating and bashing, you know, my whole faith system. And so, you know, in a lesser emotional place or in a greater vulnerable moment, you know, those kinds of things would get to me and hurt deeply, especially compounded over the years. But I was in the middle of teaching a course in miracles lesson one day, and it just became so clear to me that, wow, you know, this is not about me feeling sorry for myself at all. This is about the compassion that he really needs, and not that he is damaged, but he is whole. And it is up to me to create a relationship that is forgiving, because my holding on to my unforgiveness has disabled our capacity to have a relationship. And it was really very, very quick and very complete. And then when I opened my heart and shared myself and offered, you know, a relationship after decades, right, that, you know, I had been like resolute in being unforgiving and absolutely not, you know, not even considering the possibility that he was deserving of it. More importantly, not even considering that I was deserving of it. And so when that was so clear to me, our relationship has been different ever since. It's been like, you know, a good friendship and one of compassion and understanding. And I just won't go back into that space where he's the enemy. It doesn't serve either one of us. So that was a pretty big one for me. I mean, you know, there's certainly been others, you know, along the way. Some of the things I mentioned before, my own, you know, judgment around people based on, you know, my pain around racism, or my pain around sexism, or my pain around homophobia. All of these different things have been part of my spiritual growth, because all spiritual growth is about releasing, right? You know, leaving the victimhood, you know, leaving the manipulator, you know, which is usually a method that people use so that they can trick themselves into thinking that they have the power to do things. But it's not really them that has the power, it's the spirit within them. And this coming to that place where you are in sync with your spirit so much that, you know, in the oneness, that there is no other. So, you know, it's a process, but it's certainly a journey that is assuring you to be freed up and in your joy.
In the oneness, there is no other.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is.
So when we hate someone, we're hating ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, so much of this is about our incapacity, or our belief in our incapacity to heal, to let go. Because sometimes when someone is victimized, I'll speak for myself, when I've been victimized, it appears that it's a reflection of me. You know, either I deserved it, you know, because of something I did, or, you know, or not being something, or, you know, and then, you know, there's that whole relationship with self where you're like beating up on yourself for letting that happen to you. And, you know, there's so many dimensions, but it still basically comes down to our relationship with ourself, you know, and that other person can be our liberator if we simply use them as a way of reinforcing, you know, our not enoughness, or our victim addiction, right? You know, there are people who like to stay in that state of mind because it's comfortable, and because it's comfortable, and they're not even aware that they can go to a victor rather than being a victim. You know, but that it's necessary to really be able to face things head on, and to really look at yourself in terms of the dialogue that you have with yourself. And then other people just energetically get pulled into. And that's not trying to shame the victim, so to speak, but it is to say, well, what is my part and what is my responsibility here? Because I can make a different choice about how I hold that experience. I can make a different choice about how much power I want to give to someone else. Or I can focus on the power that is within me and reclaim, you know, my inner strength, my power, and my beauty, you know, my loving, you know, and so that is that's the biggest ask. And sometimes some of this is just to get to that, but we don't see it that way because we're so shrouded in the darkness and the victimhood.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So it sounds like, going back a little bit, I'm so sorry for doing that, but I'm a therapist, so it's just my nature. When you talked about forgiving your brother, I'm guessing that was life-changing for you. What was the impact on him?
He cried, you know, I could tell he was relieved. We're gentler with each other, kinder with each other, and excuse me, we are you know, having a different relationship than we did before. It's just really important to kind of maintain that acceptance of this being, and not just his actions, you know. Because in the end, the actions can be forgotten. And now, you know, he's kind of in this dementia phase. And so he probably doesn't even remember stuff that I would be holding on to, you know. And
so it was just hurting you.
Yeah.
What you would hold in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, for most of us, it's hard to forget. Mm-hmm. But, you know, unless there's like something like dementia that helps to help forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
it's a hard thing for survivors to forgive people who've wounded them and hurt them. So, you know, it's definitely a delicate, sensitive issue. And the way I go about talking with survivors, it's that they have the power to decide when, mm-hmm. how, what it will look like, mm-hmm. and how, you know, how long do they want it to fester and hurt them? You know, when is it time to let go? But I try not to make that call for them because it doesn't work that way.
Right. But, you know, I think about the name of your show and it's like, wow, where does the dream go when you're so caught up in the victim? You know, how is the thriving possible when you don't even see that's possible? Yeah. And so when you think about what there is to gain, sometimes that is more of an incentive than to stay, you know, in that dark hole where there seems to be no hope and that nothing will ever change, at least from that way of seeing, you know?
Yeah.
So there's something more that we don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're definitely so wise. And if, you know, listeners, they want to know you more or meet with you, like, do you offer courses or coaching? What do you offer people?
Oh, absolutely do. Yeah. I offer courses and coaching. I even have an app that's a little bit neglected that I'm planning to get back to after having been going through this big event in this new book. I can get back to those day-to-day things. But yeah, I do individual coaching. I do couples counseling. I do I do visioning for people who want to really get to why they're here and be willing to look at those things that are standing in the way of that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and my courses range from, you know, forgiveness to spirituality to, you know, all levels of healing also embracing the divine in them. That we share and that can help us see things a little differently.
Beautiful.
And I have a website, CelesteFrazier.com, where you can see some of those opportunities. Yeah.
Okay. So again, it's CelesteFrazier.com. Do you have any, you know, parting words or other words of wisdom that you would like to leave our audience with today?
Well, you know, I'm just glad that you are doing the work that you do to comfort people. Compassion is the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves. And it's from the overflow that we can give it to others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, women, I see, are also the target of your audience. And, you know, we're so used to giving. Sometimes we forget to give to ourselves. And really, we have nothing to offer unless we offer it to ourselves first.
Amen.
Beautiful. Amen.
Thank you so much, Rev Celeste.
Celeste.
Yeah, that's going to have a nice little ring to it. Yeah, thank
like
you so
Rev.
Much. Oh, I can't roll my R's real well. I've been struggling forever with that. But yeah. It was a real pleasure to have you on here today. So thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.